So I was sitting in my living room a couple of Sunday nights ago with some friends, and my friend Jenny Brown was talking about the way things had been going in her week. And she was just talking about some things that she'd been concerned about and some struggles that she'd been going through, situations in her family. And I looked at her and I said, Jenny, have you been having a daily quiet time? Have you been getting up before work and having time with the Lord? And she said, no. And I jumped up out of my chair and I started marching around the room and singing this song that I spontaneously was creating, saying, I will always be the woman who tells you how important it is to spend time every day with the Lord. That is always going to be the song that I sing. And she was a little bit taken aback for a minute, but then she remembered that I've been telling her that for years. For years, that is going to be the song that I sing. And so today, I get to tell you that same thing. I am always, always, always going to be the person that tells you one of the most important things that you can ever, ever do is build into your life a routine of spending time daily with the Lord. When I was a teenager and in high school and then going on into my college years, I went to a church down in Kansas City, Kansas, and the pastor's name was Ernie Gruen. And one of his life messages was appointment with God. A daily appointment with God. And he didn't preach about it for, you know, a summer, like we're preaching a summer on spiritual disciplines. He preached about appointment with God for years. He talked about it for years. And so his life message became a life message of mine. And so this is something that I'm passionate about. So when Bill texted me and asked me if I wanted to join he and John in talking about spiritual disciplines, I was like, oh, yeah. I totally do. And when he said, what, spiritual discipline would you like to talk about? I laughed because I knew that he knew exactly what I wanted to talk about. And so that is this. I want to talk with you about the importance of building into your daily rhythm some time to spend alone with the Lord. So the next week when Jenny was at my house sitting on my couch on Sunday night, she just couldn't stop talking about how much better her week had gone. And I said, well, was your week any less stressful this week? And she said, no, it wasn't any less stressful. But because I got up every day and I committed my day to Jesus, I felt more peace. And so there wasn't any less stress. It's just that I had invited Jesus into my day, every single day, and I had the Prince of Peace in the middle of the stress. And she was so amazed at the difference it made in her life. So today, as we talk this morning and look at the Word, I want to do these things. I want to tell you a few stories of my own. I want to talk about some stories out of the Bible. I want to look at some scriptures. And I'd like to point out 5 benefits for having a quiet time, or daily devotions, or whatever you want to call it. And so we titled this message, Daily Rhythms, Meeting with God. And this goes along with our series this summer of spiritual disciplines, practically responding to God's love. And I just want to, my goal really, I have a goal today. I have a purpose. And this is, my purpose is this. I want to convince each one of you to build into the rhythm of your life a time when you set aside a few minutes to completely focus on your friendship with God. I'm going to say it again. I want to convince every single one of you to build into your day a time when you set aside a few minutes to completely focus on your friendship with God. So let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to order my words, to make them what you want them to be. God, I believe that you led me to write all of this stuff down, but I pray that you would cause me not to be necessarily connected to these notes. I pray, God, that instead I would be connected to your Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to flow through me as though I were a conduit. And that you would just come right and flow through me, Lord. And that you would speak your words to our heart. And I pray, God, that you would anoint our hearts and our ears. And that you would grace us, Lord, to respond to you as you speak to us today. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at the Word of God. Exodus 33, starting with verse 7. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So Moses had a practice. He had a routine. He had a habit of doing this thing. And whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, the Lord would come in the form of a cloud, and the Lord would meet with him there, and they would speak to each other like friends. Scripture tells us that they would talk to each other face to face like you talk to your friend. Can you even imagine that? The Almighty God. Now, the people noticed that Moses had this habit, that he had this rhythm to his life, and they would stop what they were doing, and they would go to the doorway of their tents, and they would bow down and worship too. I love it that Moses did this on a regular basis. It wasn't hit or miss for him. It was something that he did on purpose. It was a practice. He knew that it was important to his own relationship with God, and he knew that it was important to his nation. And the people noticed. And they stopped what they were doing, and they worshiped too. When you have an appointment with God, when you have a quiet time, your children are going to notice. Your wife is going to notice. Your husband is going to notice. I believe your boss is going to notice. I believe that the people you work with are going to notice. I believe your friends are going to notice that you have spent time with God. The people around you are going to be impacted by the fact that you have spent time with God, because it's going to affect your joy and your peace and your general well-being. I believe if you asked Jenny Brown, if the people at Southwest Airlines could tell that she was different that second week, she would say, probably. Maybe even the passengers on the planes. I don't know. I believe when you have an appointment with God, it's going to affect the people around you as well. But look at what one guy did. Look at what Joshua did. He didn't stop at his own doorway. He went all the way to the tent of meeting where Moses and God were meeting. And then when Moses left, Joshua didn't even leave. He stayed right there in the presence of God. He stayed right there. And guess who God chose to take the people on into the promised land when Moses died? Joshua. Because Joshua had hung out with God for a long, long time. He had spent a lot of time in God's presence, and he knew the Lord. Isn't that cool? Okay, I know we just got started on this message, but I already want to go on a rabbit trail. Is that okay? All right, now this is so cool. I was listening to this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I heard this thing that I have never heard in my whole entire life, and it blew my mind. How many of you have always thought that the fact that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land was a little bit unfair? I mean, come on. He led the children of Israel all the way through the wilderness. They spent 40 years wandering around and around the mountain. They were whining. They were crying. They were complaining. They were a sorry bunch of people. And they made him mad one day, and he was supposed to speak to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. And so God said, "I'm sorry, Moses, you don't get to go all the way to the promised land. Climb up this mountain, you can look at it, see how beautiful it is, but you're going to die here, and you're not going to get to go all the way into the promised land." And I've always thought, come on, God, he took him all the way there. Can you have just a little bit of mercy and grace, and come on, let's let Moses go all the way into the promised land? But God didn't let him. And I've always thought it was a little bit unfair. How many, has anybody else thought that was a little bit harsh? Come on, that's a little bit harsh, God. Listen to this. So I heard this lady on this podcast, and she's like, think about, just fast forward to the New Testament. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? So on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. They go up this mountain, and Jesus, he glows. He transforms. And who else is there with him? Elijah and Moses. And where are they? They're in Israel. Moses got to go to the promised land, y'all. And who was he with? He was with Jesus. He was with the glorified Jesus. Moses got to go to the promised land. And who would you rather be with when you go to the promised land? A bunch of crying, whining, you know, whiny baby Israelites, or the glorified Jesus? I'd rather be with the glorified Jesus, right? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so cool? So when we think, God, what are you doing in my life? This doesn't seem fair. This seems so wrong. I don't see what you're doing here. We can remember Moses probably thought this wasn't fair. What are you doing, God? I should be able to go into the promised land. God knows what he's doing. He knows about timing, and he knows what he's doing in our lives. The timing may not be what we think is right, but God keeps his promises. And he knows what he's doing, and he will take care of you and make sure that you get what he's promised. Trust him. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. End of rabbit trail. But wasn't that cool? I'm so glad I heard that podcast. All right. Back to quiet times. So, Moses had a practice, a routine, a habit, a rhythm, and it was good for him and it was good for the people around him. Here's this point. Your daily time with God will benefit you as well as the people around you. Your daily time with God will benefit you as well as the people around you. It's of great benefit to seek God's face. We make appointments with our doctors, our barbers, our bosses, our friends, and sometimes because life can be so incredibly busy, we have to make appointments with our spouses. Have you ever thought of making an appointment with God? Have you ever thought of setting up a standing appointment with him, knowing that when the time comes, you're going to stop everything else and be with him? Here's the cool thing about God. He'll never stand you up. He'll never forget that you were going to meet. He'll never be late, and he will never once glance at his iPhone while you're talking to him. He doesn't need to check the scores. He doesn't need to look at the news. He already knows what's going on. He is waiting and longing for you to draw near to him. James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." That's a promise. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And the nearness of God is good for us. Psalm 73:28 says this, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." A refuge is a place of rest. It's a safe place. I can be quiet and at rest when God is near. I know that everything's going to be okay. It's kind of like knowing daddy's home and everything's okay. The weirdest thing happened the other night. My husband likes it really dark in the bedroom. There's no night lights. There's no leaving the hallway light on or anything like that. So when I get out of bed, I just kind of have to do this deal, you know, until I find the bathroom. And so I got out of bed and I was doing this with me. I had to just kind of ricochet around until I, okay, this is this wall and this is, okay, here I can reach around in the bathroom and turn the light on, right? And so I was doing that and I found a piece of furniture that had a t-shirt on it or something. And I'm thinking, there's no furniture on my side of the bedroom with clothing on it, and I couldn't quite figure out where I was, and all of a sudden, then I felt somebody's hand, and it totally freaked me out, and I'm like, oh, honey, are you in the bathroom? And he was like, and I was like, I don't know where I am, and immediately John said, it's me, I'm here, you're okay, and I had somehow circumnavigated the whole bed, and I was on the other side of the bedroom, and it was him, and I was totally freaked out. I don't know where I am, and I said, will you turn on a light, please? But he was so sweet, and he was just like, it's me, I'm here, you're okay. Oh, and God is like that. When I get upstairs to my quiet time, he's like, You're okay. I know you just watched the news. I'm here. It's okay. I still live in LA where your son is. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay, Jeannie. I am still God. I sit enthroned above the circle of the earth. I've still got the whole world in my hands. You don't have to be afraid. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you, and he will remind you of his sovereignty, and he will remind you that he knows what's going on, and you don't have to be afraid. It is a good thing to be in the presence of the Lord. It is good to spend time with the Lord. You can hear him say, everything is okay, I'm here, I've got this. It's good to have a friendship with God. I spent the last week with your kids telling them in VBS that the very first relationship that the Lord had was with Adam and Eve, and he built a friendship with them. Scripture tells us that in the Garden of Eden, the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, and he built a friendship with them. I usually talk about having a quiet time with the Lord in the morning, but what I want you to know is it doesn't have to happen in the morning. If you're not a morning person, don't freak out about that. Don't think, oh my gosh, I've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's not true. In fact, the Jewish day started in the evening time. So if you want to have a quiet time at night, if you want to have your appointment with God in the evening time, that's okay too. I just know that I would fall asleep on God. And so it doesn't have to be at a specific time. If you are a mom and your kids have a nap time in the afternoon, that might be a good time for you to do your Bible study and your time with the Lord. So it doesn't have to be a specific time. I'm just trying to convince you to sometime in the rhythm of your day, create a time when you're going to be alone with the Lord. Friendship with God is what I'm trying to talk about today. I want to tell you a story that I've told a couple of times before, and if you've heard it, I'm going to repeat it anyway because it's a really good story. It's about my granddaddy and an old black man named Mark. My granddaddy lived in Coosa County, Alabama for several years after his retirement. He had been a pharmacist in Auburn, Alabama, and after they retired, Nanny and Granddaddy moved to out to the country and lived down the road from my Uncle Billy. And this old black man named Mark became Granddaddy's best friend, and they did everything together. They cut wood, and they fixed fences. They fed the hogs, and whatever they did together. Whatever needed to be done around there, they did together, and they were good, good, good friends. And in January of 1981, Granddaddy died unexpectedly. He had a brain aneurysm that burst, and he just passed away. I was going to school in Manhattan, Kansas at the time, and I remember that our family loaded up into cars and drove down to Alabama, and we spent that long road trip telling stories about being at Nanny and Granddaddy's house and all kinds of things we talked about on the way down to Alabama. What happened the night before the funeral, I will remember forever. We were at the funeral home for the visitation. And I remember sitting on the couch next to Uncle Billy and looking across the funeral home room there. And Mark was standing next to the casket. And he was leaning over, looking into the casket where my granddaddy lay. He was looking down at his friend, and he was just saying, he was a good man. He was a good man. I just remember being so moved emotionally by Mark grieving over his best friend. And although it was 1981 and the civil rights movement had taken place two decades earlier, it was still rural Alabama. And so it was not accepted in this southern country culture for a black man to go into a white man's church. So Mark knew that he wouldn't be able to attend the funeral the next day, and that he was having to say goodbye to his best friend at this visitation. So the next day, when Nanny and Mama and Uncle Billy got into the funeral home limousine and the rest of us climbed into cars to follow them to the service, we had to drive past Mark's house on the way to the funeral. And I remember going past his house and looking over on the hill. And Alabama has this red clay, and Mark's house was surrounded by this red dirt. And I remember looking up on this hill, and y'all, standing out there on the hill stood Mark in his Sunday clothes. He had gotten up and he'd put on his suit, and he had his hat in his hand, and he bowed his head, and he stood out there with his head bowed and his hat in his hand to honor his friend. And I think what he was saying at the time was, I don't care about man-made traditions and rules. Mr. Phillips, you are my friend, and you are worth getting up and getting dressed for. And I want to honor you this day. And I remember that on mornings when I'm tired and I don't want to get out of bed, and I think, you know what? Lord, you are worth getting up for. You are worth getting up, getting dressed, opening up my Bible, directing my heart and my attention to your friendship is worth it, Lord. I want to spend time with you. Lord Jesus, my friendship with you is valuable. You are worth the effort, any effort that I might make. Now, I want to point something out to you that Bill has made clear to us when we're talking about these spiritual disciplines, and that is this. We're not doing these disciplines to make God love us more. We can't make him love us anymore. He is already head over heels in love with us. He's proven that to us, and he says it in his word over and over and over again. We can't make him love us anymore, so we're not having a quiet time so that he'll love us anymore. God is your friend, not because you have daily devotions. Here's a point for you. Josh, have you got it? God is your friend, not because you have daily devotions. You have daily devotions because he is your friend. Right? God is your friend not because you have a quiet time. You have a quiet time because he is your friend. You can't not spend time with him. We don't do these disciplines so he'll love us more or accept us more, but in doing these things, we're providing a structure or a forum in which God can speak to us. He can communicate his love to us. He can communicate to us how much he accepts us and loves us. It's merely creating space for him to do his thing. We're giving him an opportunity to pour it out on us. It's inviting him in so he doesn't have to whack us over the head like he did Saul on the way to Damascus, right? Okay, so I promised you five benefits of having a daily quiet time. So here goes. we were in one of those buffet kind of restaurants where you can eat, you know, all you can eat kind of things. And Maggie was about six, and so that means Philip was about eight. And they had had, you know, they had eaten all the protein they had to eat. They'd had their required number of real foods. And I said, okay, go for it. You can go to the over to the dessert bar. And they went to the dessert bar, and they had all the cookies and pies and ice cream that, you know, their little tummies could handle. So with her tummy crammed with all of the goodies it could fit into it, Maggie climbed up on her daddy's lap and got face to face with him and said, I've never met a morsel of icing I didn't like. Beth Moore says that when we get our emotional needs met during our quiet time alone with Jesus, then any other affirmation that a family member or a friend gives us is just whipped cream. So if we get up in the morning and we spend time with our friend Jesus, and he pours into us all kinds of love and acceptance, then we don't have to have our husband tell us how awesome we are. He can if he wants to, but that's just whipped cream, right? And we don't walk around needy, asking people how great we are. We don't have to have a bunch of Instagram likes or Facebook likes, because we already got our affirmation and our encouragement from the Lord. The lover of my soul has already satisfied me, filling me up with his goodness and his love. Let's look at some scripture. Psalm 17:15. I love this. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. I will be satisfied. What an amazing expectation to be satisfied. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Man, how many of you know that this world is a sun-scorched land some days? And we desperately need to be satisfied by something. This scripture right here tells us that the Lord himself will satisfy our needs in a sun-scorched land. I love that. The Lord is the only one who can truly satisfy our needs, not Facebook, not movies, not romance novels, not even your best friend. The Lord himself will satisfy your needs. The Lord himself will satisfy your needs. The Lord himself. So the number one benefit of a daily appointment with God is that having a quiet time provides satisfaction. Secondly, a regular quiet time with God provides a connection to the power source. A connection to the power source. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we all carry around these little computers in our pockets, right? We call them an iPhone. But in order for them to receive information from the worldwide interweb, they have to be connected, right? They have to be connected to the Wi-Fi. They have to be connected to the source. In order for the printer to print, it has to be connected to the network. I can't tell you how many times I've told my printer to print a document. Print! 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 Why isn't it printing? Come on, come on, come on, come on! Like that song we sang this morning. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh. I can't tell you how many times, but if it's not connected, that document is not going to come out. When we spend time with Jesus, we're making the connection to our power source. He is the source of our power. He is the vine. We are the branches. We have to get connected to him. Here's what we do. We do the natural thing. We get up in the morning and we do the natural thing. We reach out to God. God, here I am, here I am, here I am, God. You come, you come, you come and you fill me. We do the natural thing, and he does the supernatural thing, the Holy Spirit. Whoosh! Here I am, God. Here I am. Come, come. Won't you come and fill me? Whoosh! He does the supernatural thing. He's the source. He's the power. We're just doing the natural thing. Here I am, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you. And God comes and fills us up with himself. Because apart from him, we can't do anything right. We can't do anything good. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Here's a quote for you. We need to be in his presence daily and his word continually. If not, we will cut off the flow of sap that would have produced fruit for his pleasure and rewards in eternity. An irrefutable fact of spiritual life is that every man, everyone is only as close to the Lord as he or she chooses to be. And if you choose to abide in him, to intertwine your life with his, to wrap yourself around him and stay close to him, he will inevitably bring forth much fruit. It's your choice. It's my choice as to whether we want to abide in him. It's not Pastor Bill's responsibility to make sure we're healthy in our spiritual lives. It's not Pastor John's responsibility to make sure we're bearing fruit spiritually. It's not the elder's responsibility to make sure your family is spiritually healthy. It's not up to our children's ministry to make sure your kids know the Lord. But I promise you that if your children get up each day and see you with your nose in the Bible, it's going to have an effect on their lives. If they see their mama or daddy praying each morning and listening to praise music, it's going to make a difference. Having a time set aside each day to spend time with him is like getting charged up, connecting to the power source. Just like we plug in our cell phone every night and let it charge up, we must spend time connected to Jesus in order to be effective for him. We must stay connected to our source. Jesus is our source. So secondly, a regular time alone with God provides a connection to the power source. That's your number two benefit. Number three, a regular quiet time provides a way to renew our minds. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The message says it like this. No, I'm sorry. The New Living Testament says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay. Here's the deal, guys. We have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants us to believe the lies of this world. He doesn't want us to believe the truth of God's word. So when we start reading and believing God's word and transforming and being changed into a new person, you can know for sure that Satan is going to attack you and try to make you forget the things that you're learning from the Bible. He does not want you to be friends with Jesus. He does not want you to find peace with God in the mornings. He wants you walking around fearful and confused and angry. That is part of his plan for your life. And as surely as God has a good plan for your life, Satan has a horrible plan for your life. Satan's plan for your life is for destruction and your ultimate death. I've got a word picture for you. I love football. I love to play football and I love to watch football. But I love the way that I feel after I watch football better than after I play football. So I've been watching more football lately than playing football. So I want you to think about a receiver, okay? Somebody like Tony Gonzalez or Jeremy Maclin, or somebody who catches the ball, right? Okay, you are the receiver. And you're going up for the ball, okay? And you're going to catch the ball, right? And You know that you're going to catch the ball, but you know that somebody else wants to catch the ball too. The defender wants to catch the ball, right? But you get to it first and you catch it, but you know you're about to get hit. And he's going to hit you. And not only is he going to hit you, but he also wants to take the ball away from you. He wants to strip that ball from you. He wants to knock you down and he wants to strip the ball from you. The ball is the word of God. Okay? Satan wants to hit you. He wants to hit you hard and he wants to strip the word of God from you. He wants to separate you from the word of God. He wants to take it away from you. Okay? Satan does not want you to start having a quiet time. He does not want you to start working on these spiritual disciplines in your life. He wants to knock you down so hard that you forget this sermon ever even happened. Okay? And it might work. You might fall down and you might have two quiet times this week. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and go back to the huddle. Guess who the huddle is? We are. Because we're your team. Right? So you go back to your teammates and you say, man, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. I'm going to catch it. I'm going to catch it next time. I'm going to catch it. Okay? And so we huddle up again and we go, okay, we're going to try again. We're going to try again. The pass is coming to you again. Okay? And so here's the thing. You're going to catch the ball the next time and you're going to hold on to it tighter and you're going to try again. And some weeks, you're going to catch the ball 3 or 4 times. And some of the time you're going to drop the ball because we have an enemy and he hits hard. But it's okay. Some of the time you're going to catch the ball, and some of the time you're going to keep it, and some of the time you're going to score, right? But we have a team. We have a team, and we're all on each other's side, and we're praying for each other. So here's the thing. I dare you to do this thing. I dare you to start building this into your daily rhythm. And I dare you to find somebody to hold you accountable. I dare you to say, okay, Christy, I'm going to try this thing. Would you help me out with this? Would you help me? Would you hold me? Would you ask me next week if I've done it? And I can say, yeah, I did it a couple of times and it helped. I just dare you. Okay, there's my word picture for you. Some of these things are a struggle for all of us to do. We have a very real enemy that doesn't want us to be successful. Okay. A daily quiet time provides a way for us to renew our minds. Bible study will renew your mind. I'm going to talk more specifically about Bible study next week. Bill gave me wraparound weekends. I get to do this one more time, so I'm so excited. Next week, I'm going to give you some real practical ways to do Bible study. And so I hope that y'all can come next week too. So number 4, a regular quiet time with God provides direction for your day. Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. Reveal to me the way I should go, because I long for you. I just want to say real quickly, because I went by this point really fast. This is number 4, direction for your day. Direction for your day. Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. Reveal to me the way I should go because I long for you. I love those emotional verbs. That's an intense emotion. Do you ever wonder what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to invest your time? A regular daily quiet time gives us a forum in which we can just seek God's will. What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to spend my time? Your morning quiet time is like a daily military briefing. It's where you can receive your orders for the day. The other night we were coming in for VBS and we walked past I was bringing my grandchildren that night. We walked past the sound booth and Mike Humphrey was up there. And I don't even know where my grandchildren learned this. It was just darling. We got right in front of Mike and Jade stopped and just threw him a kiss. Right? And then I saw Jude stop, and he turned toward him, turned his toes toward him, and then he just saluted. And I'm like, you guys are killing me. That was darling, right? And I think sometimes in the morning we can do that to Jesus. I love you. And yes, Lord. Yes, sir, here I am. What would you like for me to do today, Lord? Here I am. Give me my daily orders. Tell me what you want me to do. There's a very familiar scripture in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Now, I know that much of our life is already planned for us. We have responsibilities and routines that we have to carry out every day. You got to do the laundry. You got to go to the grocery store. Some of you have to go to work. Some people stay home. Some people take care of children. There's all kinds of things that we have to do. But here's the thing. I believe that everybody has divine appointments that God has put into their day. You've got things that people that he wants you to run into, people that he wants you to speak into their life. And so we can say, I say, Lord, show me who you want me to send a text to. Show me who you want me to speak to. Show me if you want me to make a phone call. And in the middle of all of the ordinary things of life, God wants you to have an effect on other people. That's why it's so important to commit each day to the Lord. And a quiet time provides an opportunity to do that. I'll say, Lord, line up my day for me. Guide my steps. Cause me to run into the people that you want me to run into. Bring to my mind the people that you want me to text. Make my day go the way you want it to go. Psalm 119:133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. So that's number four, direction. And the last one, the last benefit goes along with the fourth one. A quiet time is an expression of our submission. That's what we're saying. Today, Lord, I choose to follow you. Today, I will say yes to your plan. I bow my knee to your sovereignty. You are God, and I am not. This is huge. This is an admission of our dependence on his loving care, and it lays the foundation for our day. It puts us in a place of recognizing our need for a savior, a director, a protector, and he is all of those things and more. When we have a quiet time, we're saying, Lord, you are all of these things to me, and I am so thankful. I need you. So spending time alone with God will change the way you see life. You'll begin to see things from a different perspective. You'll begin to fret less and trust more. You'll begin to fear less and relax more. As you spend time with God, you'll become more convinced that he's in control and watching over you, and there is indeed nothing to fear. Now, I believe that spending time alone with God will not only change the way you see life, I believe it will change the way you look. Because you'll trust God more, I believe that you will look more confident. There's a passage of scripture in Acts that talks about Peter and John and how they were on their way to the temple and they saw this lame guy and he was asking them for some money and they said, we don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Right? Remember that story? They came walking and leaping and praising God. So they healed this guy. He got healed and it created a riot. And all of the bigwigs in the church got mad and they threw Peter and John into jail and kept him overnight. And the next day they started having this big, almost like a trial for Peter and John. And Peter and John stood up, came to this trial, and they said, by whose name are you doing these things? And they started to give their defense. I love this scripture. Acts 4:13 says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When they saw that they were ordinary, unschooled men, they were astonished and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't it be something If people could tell just by looking at you that you've been with Jesus, would you look at Gail? I can tell by the way she looks that she's been with Jesus this morning. You know what? I can tell just by looking at him that he spent time with the Lord today. And there's a scripture in Song of Solomon that says, who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Wouldn't it be something if people could say, wow, look at her. She looks like she's been with her beloved. Wow. Look at him. You can tell they've been with the Lord today. Can you see the glow on their face? They've been with God. I think that's possible. I think that when we spend time with the Lord, other people can tell. And that's what I'm challenging us to do today. I'm challenging us to build into our lives a time when we spend time with our best friend and it makes a difference. Why don't you all stand up with me and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with that discipline. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just agree with the word that says that your nearness is our good. And we say that we want to draw near to you. And so, Father, I ask you to help us be disciplined in this area. And I pray, Lord, that if there are people here that want to respond to this challenge, that you would strengthen them in their will and help them know when and how to build this into their day. Pray that you'd help them do that, Father, in Jesus' name.